Genesis chapter number 1. We began this last week, and I think everybody that's here, I hope you still have these. Did everybody, I know, okay. I thought this Mr. Jeffrey was the only one. I couldn't remember if you came Sunday morning or Sunday night last week, and I know Ms. Daylene did. So, you know, as you're reading through, I hope that some of you maybe take the time, read Genesis, keep ahead, go right back and read it, and look for these things. And read the book of Genesis. Last week, we looked at, in verses 1 through 20, we looked at the first 4 days, and I'm going to review very quickly, and so, of this, and then we're going to jump into the last part of this chapter, and then we'll be done. And so I'm just going to read verse 1 again for a text verse, and then we'll run through the first 4 days. Father, we thank you for the day that you made. I pray for your blessing on the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For I did that backwards. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So in day 1, we saw the heaven and the earth created. We also saw that God created time, space, and matter. It also says here that the waters. So God created water. Also on day 1 is one thing that we often don't point out. And light. God divided the light from darkness and made a day and a night, and he made the evening and the morning of the first day. So we see that he also established a 24-hour. He also established that the day in God's mind goes from evening to morning. We see that God divided the day from the night, and he called the darkness night, and the light he called day. And those are all things that were created on day 1. Day 2, I was thinking about it, if anybody else was here, I did mess up. I'm pretty sure that I said 7 layers. In day 2, God creates the atmosphere. It is 5 layers. And I apologize, but I'm pretty sure I said 7. But it's 5 layers. 5 is the number of grace. And those 5 layers, and you're going to have to look them up if you're going to want them, because you're probably, most of you in here, well, some of you, maybe Miss Daylene and Miss Jennifer, not my and my wife, if she tries, but the rest of us are doomed, are not going to be able to spell them. So those are troposphere, stratosphere, mesosphere, thermosphere, and exosphere. Those are the 5 layers of the atmosphere, and that's what God created in day 2, the firmament. The atmosphere. God created the heaven. The word firmament means a region in the air, sky or the heavens. And so that's what God created, I believe, is the atmosphere, the air. I believe he maybe even at that point made the air of oxygen and nitrogen. Does anybody know why our atmosphere is not pure oxygen? It would burn. Do you realize that God, the perfect mixture, if our the level of oxygen in the atmosphere was any more, I can't remember, it's not much more, I can't remember what the percentage, but if it was just a little bit higher percentage, 2 or 3% higher, our atmosphere would burn up because of the oxygen. Most people would probably say, learning, well, we breathe oxygen, the air is oxygen, but the majority of air is not oxygen. And God did that because if it did, it would burn up. And so that's our God. That's how good God is. Think about that. And so that's all on day 2. Day 3, the dry land appears. Day 3, the seas are gathered together. God also now creates grass, herbs, fruit trees, vegetation, and he also establishes a law here. The law that everything reproduces after its kind. You plant a banana seed, you get a banana plant. You plant a strawberry seed, Bonnie, you get a strawberry plant. You plant an orange seed, you get an orange. It brings forth after its kind. No matter how many times you plant an orange seed, you're not getting an apple tree. It's just not happening. It brings forth after its kind. So God also establishes that on day 3. And now day 4, we looked at God made the lights in the firmament. What are the lights in the firmament, Bonnie? What's the firmament? I just said. It's the area in the sky and in the heavens. So what lights in the firmament did God? What's the lights in the firmament? What else? Stars, the sun, and the moon. God created the sun. So up to this point, God is the light on the earth. God is what's supplying the ability for the plants and stuff to grow for that first, for day three. And in day four, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. So he made the lights and the firmament. And he gave them for signs. We see blood moons picking up. There's more and more common now for blood moons. God gave that for a sign. I believe the time is near. Is there a certain amount of blood moons that got to appear? No. But I believe it's something that God has given a warning. The seasons. Now I cannot. I'm not a that kind of person. Now I'm sure maybe Miss Daylene, she's from that generation. There's a lot. I know my grandpa could. He could look at the sun, the moon, and tell you what phase of the moon it's in, how long it was till the full moon. I cannot do that. There are people that do that, that know. What is it? What's it, 28 days for every full moon? Is it?
Not sure.
You're not sure? Do you know, Brother Joe?
Sounds right. Either 25 or
28. 25 or 28. So, there's people, but there's people out there, farmers know this. My dad grew up that way. Y'all's papa grew up that way. They knew that. Why? Because they planted by the, they planted by the phase of the moon. I've heard this one, and I believe it's true. Have you ever dug a hole, and when you fill it back in, there's not enough dirt? There are people that they'll tell you, if you dig a hole by the wrong phase of the moon, when you fill it back in, you won't have enough dirt. And there are sometimes when you do it to the right stage, or the right phase, you dig a hole, and you'll have excess dirt. And I'm like, how is that possible? And I was talking to my dad, this is many after I got saved, but it's been many years ago, and he said, I don't know, but that's the way we were always taught, and it does happen. I have buried animals, dead animals. You put the carcass in the hole and still not have enough dirt to fill the hole back in. And then I've had other times where you have a mound that high. And Papa told us, it's because you buried or dug a hole according to the wrong phase of the moon. What else is controlled by the moon?
The ocean.
The ocean, the tides, the water in the oceans. So if it affects the oceans that much that it creates the waves, why could it not? I don't know. I'm just telling you. There's a lot of farmer's almanac, old wives' tales that, you know, now some of it, the Bible talks about avoiding wives' tales, but there's some of it that is true according to the planning of certain phases of the moon and different things like that. But God says it. Now, this does not mean we're to be doing zodiac signs and your
horoscope.
That's the word I was looking for. Astrology, you're not supposed to be doing, looking at, I'm Cancer, but I don't look at none of that stuff. I remember when I was a kid, used to read that stuff in the paper. I was Cancer, and you read that in the paper, like, what is that? I'm like, what does that mean? I don't get it. What am I, you know? But, you know, we're not to do that. But there are here, he does say, there'll be for signs, seasons, days, and years. And one is to rule over the day, and one is to rule over the night. Ain't it amazing? Brother Joe, I think it's amazing that all of our technology and all of our abilities, we cannot create a something like the sun. I go out and watch, I've gone to construction sites at night, and they got these, we've got some great big bright lights now. But you know what? When you walk behind that light, guess what? It's dark. I remember when we came to Kansas the first time, my wife came, 2010, we came to Kansas for the first time. And I can remember we left Anthony, Kansas. And I don't remember what town it was, it wasn't Anthony. But we're going down a major road, a highway, and you're looking over and you can see a town over in the distance because of all the lights. You know what? It's dark between us and them. No matter how much ability we have, how much, you know, man thinks that he has, we still cannot produce a light like the sun. Even the moon. When the moon is at a full moon, I mean, you can see quite a bit. Now, we've got brighter ones, but they still don't give all of the light in the amount that the moon does. And so God gave us that. So now, the last couple of days here, verse 20 now. And the Lord said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life. So in day five now, we see sea creatures. Not only that, we see moving that hath life and fowl. What does the word fowl mean?
Birds.
Means birds, means flying creatures. We classify a lot of other things as fowl because of our classification. But that mean that God, I think God just threw some stuff in there. You know what the, you know what they always say there at the end? God just threw that platypus in there at the end just to throw everybody out. But we're the ones, I talked about this with sea creatures, with the fish, and with the whales and stuff. We're the ones that classify whales as mammals, not God. But, you know, we're the ones also that classify penguins as birds. We classify ostriches as birds. They don't fly, but they meet our definition of fowl, but they don't actually fly. You know, but that's what evolutionists would use to say, well, see, that's evolution. A bird doesn't fly, that would be de-evolution. You have an animal that's able to fly, why would it want to walk around everywhere when it can fly everywhere? You know, that would be my superpower. I remember one time saying, if you got any superpower, what would it be? I would want the ability to fly on my own so I don't have to take an airplane from place to place. That's fine. Maybe you want to run fast, maybe you want other things, but, you know, that would be the one thing that I would want. I think not being able to fly as a bird would be a de-evolution, not a progression of evolution. But we're the ones that do that. And God says here in verse 20, He says He made the fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now what does He say? So God has now created the sea creatures. He's created the fowl. But then in verse number 22, He also goes a step further. He blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas. And the fowl multiplied. And let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And so God did all that on the fifth day. So the first 3 days, God creates the world and gets it ready. And in the next 3 days, God fills it. Did you ever think of it that way?
I wonder if the birds fly, it says on the fifth day, that's pretty graceful.
It's pretty what?
Graceful. 5 means grace.
Yeah, 5 means grace.
It'd be pretty graceful to be flying, I think.
Maybe so. Hey, one day, the Lord Jesus... Bible says we're going to have a body like and fashioned after the Lord Jesus Christ. What did what was He able to do in His body?
He
go where He wanted. He what?
Ascended.
He ascended. He flew. Not only that, He's able to walk through walls. He may have defied. I don't know, man. I don't know what abilities. He, in His non-glorified body, He walked on water. He got, but in His glorified body, and He not only could probably walk on water, but He got to fly. I don't know. I think that would be amazing. But that's the fifth day, and so there's it's the day of grace. God begins now. He's made in the first 3 days. He has made the heavens, the earth, and all that. And in the next 3 days, 4, 5, and 6, He begins to fill it. He fills the heaven with the stars, the moon, and the sun. He fills the sky with the fowl and the sea with the birds. And now in day 6, the evening morning, verse 24, God said, let the earth now, so now He's bringing forth on the earth, let the earth bring forth the living creature after His kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after His kind. And it was so. And so I believe right there, God brought forth cattle, but He also brought forth beast. If we were to see a brontosaurus, we would be thinking what? That's a great beast. I believe that's exactly where the dinosaurs fit in. I believe right there, day 5. What we consider dinosaurs. I believe God created fowl. I believe that pterodactyls, if they found fossils for pterodactyls, then God made them on day 4 when He made the fowls of the heavens. Day 5, He made the land creatures. What is one of the reasons that man uses to justify that dinosaurs ate one another. Shark teeth. Do you know that? They don't know for sure. They just hypothesize, but they pass it off as fact. The number one reason is because of sharp teeth. That's why they try to say that these animals, these were meat eaters. They have no proof whatsoever. Does anybody know any creatures with sharp teeth that don't eat animals? Allie?
Fruit bats.
Fruit bats have sharp teeth, though they don't eat animals. Owen, do you know another one? Wolves eat other animals.
Walrus.
A dog.
I don't know what walrus eat. Dogs eat, yes, but they eat other, they'll eat animals. Do you know pandas have sharp teeth? Very, very sharp teeth. All they basically eat is bamboo. Fruit bats, pandas, and there's one other major one. No, they have flat teeth. They just kill because they're in butler.
But they're
In the
winter?
Shh, shh, shh. Nope. There's one other one too, but I've heard Christian scientists talk about this. This idea that we see sharp teeth and claws and we immediately think, well, they got to be a meat eater. But that's not true because fruit bats eat only fruit. Now, there are bats eat bugs and stuff like that, but fruit bats basically eat fruit. And they have sharp claws, sharp teeth. Pandas have sharp claws, sharp teeth, and all they eat is bamboo. And there's another one, too, and I'm sorry, it slipped my mind what the animal is. But I know there's three major animals that do not eat, and they all have sharp teeth. And so that's something to remember. Just because that's what they go off of. By the way, they also, if you'll go into museums, they'll also have a statement. They make this bold statement. No human has ever been alive with dinosaurs. Now, how could you possibly answer that? How is it possible to even know that? How would it be possible to know that no human has ever existed? No human has ever existed with dinosaurs. How would it be possible to know that? It's not. But I mean, how would it be? What would you have to do? You have to be there. You would have to interview every human being that ever lived to make such a statement. But yet, you go in the vast majority of museums with fossils, and they'll say no human has ever existed with dinosaurs. But you go down to, if you ever get a chance, Allen, Texas, I think it is. There's a little creation museum down in Allen, Texas. I'm not talking about ICR, it's another one. He has a dinosaur footprint that was in the mud, preserved, with a human footprint right there with it. And they have tested them. They're both just as old as the other one. It had to be. In order for one footprint to still exist when the other footprint was there, what had to happen? They had to be walking around the same time. And Allen, Texas, I think I still got the picture. I had to find it. But they have that footprint of a dinosaur with a human. But yet, you go into secular museums and they'll make the statement, no human has ever existed with dinosaurs. I'm just telling you, you got to be very careful. They are very sly about how they word things to try to confuse people. So he made creeping things. Verse number 24, God, and the Lord God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth after his kind. So, cows can only bring forth cows. They can't bring forth dinosaurs. Elephants can only bring forth elephants. They can't bring forth hippos. And it was so. Verse 25, the Lord and God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So in verse 25, I believe God also made bugs. Thank you. He made everything that creepeth. I know those little spiders you don't like. Those little centipedes and millipedes. When I think of creeping, I think of those little centipedes and millipedes and stuff. That's what I think of. But I believe that's when God made insects. People often ask, well, God didn't say, it doesn't say anything about insects. It says right here, everything that creepeth. And every other thing and every other creeping thing. Sorry, verse 26. At the end of it, verse 26. And look, let me read verse 26 because I'm messing up. Y'all give me, forgive me. Then he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So verse 26, if you missed it, verse 26 catches it. So God made land creatures. He made cattle. He made creeping things. He made beasts. He made man and woman in the image of God. How did he make man and woman in the image of God? We are a triune being. We are body, soul, and spirit. Just as God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we too are. We are body, soul, and spirit. And our body is represented by Christ. The soul is represented by the Father. And the spirit is represented by the Holy Spirit. And we are dead spiritually. In trespasses and sins. That's why we need the Holy Spirit of God to make us alive, to quicken us. So not only now he made man and woman, but he also made dominion. Dominion means to have authority over. By the way, when it means to have dominion, and it means to have authority over, that word dominion carries with it the idea of not just having authority, but the right kind of authority. Not just to rule over, I'm going to rule over you. You know how you see the movies and kings would make their subjects bow down and da-da-da. You're going to respect my authority. The word dominion means to have the right kind of authority. I believe, and the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, if you're going to have animals, you ought to take care of them. I believe God gave us dominion over the animals. Those little kids yesterday, I felt sorry for them. There was a lot of kids crying yesterday. Because the animals that they have raised were going to be slaughtered. A lot of them. You enjoy chicken. You enjoy steak. You enjoy barbecue. Animals got to be slaughtered. But we are, I believe, to do it the right way. That's what I believe that the word dominion carries. I don't have respect for somebody that goes out and hunts for trophy and doesn't utilize the meat. If you're going to go out and hunt deer, I got no problem with that. If you're going to one looking for the big one, I got no problem with that. As long as you're taking the meat and having dominion over it the right way. That's what that word dominion means, to have that, not just authority over, but to respect it. Not to just go out and hunt just because you go out and hunt.
Be a steward.
To be a good steward. Amen. There you go, brother. Exactly. To have that kind of respect for it. And so God gave man dominion. By the way, we lost that dominion when Adam and Eve fell. And Jesus Christ reclaimed that when he rose from the dead. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. We lost it, that dominion. And the devil had it, but Jesus took that back. The word dominion means a sovereign or a supreme authority. Adam had it, he lost it to Satan, and Jesus reclaimed it. He goes on now, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. People often ask, well, what do you think happened to the dinosaurs? You know what I think happened to the dinosaurs? You want to know what I believe happened to the dinosaurs? The same thing that almost happened to the buffalo here in America. When a man moved into the Indians, they were savages and they didn't have the kind of respect like Jesus, but they did have respect for the animals, a lot more respect for animals than most men do. But when man moved into the Midwest, what's the first thing they did? They hunted the buffalo almost to extinction until somebody realized. What do I think happened to the dinosaurs and those? I believe that the first thing man does is move into an area and he shoots and kills everything in that area. Case in point, there's not been mountain lions really in this area. There had not been mountain lions for years. And now what are we spotting? Mountain lions. Why? Because we finally, in America, again, I believe in freedom, but I also believe in conservation. And we in America have finally got to the point where we've quit letting people just go into an area and kill everything. Deer populations were diminished in a lot of places. Till what? Till conservation efforts. Man is our own worst enemy. Like I said, first thing we do is move into an area, we start shooting and killing every big thing that's there. What happened to the dinosaurs? I believe man moved into the area and killed everything. That's my thought. I don't know. But people often ask, what do you think? I think that that's probably what happened to dinosaurs, that man moved in. Or it could have been when they came off the ark. Another hypothesis is when they came off the ark, because of the devastation of the flood, there was a global ice age. That's why you see woolly mammoths and you don't see them anymore. There was a global ice age, and a lot of men believe that maybe they froze out because of the ice age that happened. And so those are just two hypotheses. We don't know for sure. But mine, like I said, well, if dinosaurs survive, man is our worst enemy. The first thing we do. You think even in America here with small animals, you are seeing a lot more skunks, possums, and raccoons nowadays than I did when I was young. Why? Because 100 years ago, people hunted everything they could. Turkeys, skunks, possums, raccoons, foxes, anything they could to survive. Well, now nobody hunts those things. So what's happened? They're breeding uncontrolled, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I'm just saying, man moves into an area and we hunt everything. That's what I think happened to the dinosaurs, most likely. Man moved into an area, we hunted everything out.
Big animals would be hard to find shelter compared to small animals.
Right. It would have been harder for them to find shelter. It would have been harder for them to find food if you had a global ice age and you had great big animals. It would have been harder for them to find enough food to survive. All those things. And like I said, we don't know for sure. But those are just as good a hypothesis as what the secular world comes up with their stuff. And so day six here, God created those things. Where are we at? Verse number 28, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, to do it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, here's the diet. By the way, this is why when I don't put trust in people that say, well, are you following a biblical diet? Okay, which biblical diet? There's four of them. Do you know that? There's four biblical diets. God's given the first one right here. Before Adam and Eve fell, nobody ate meat. No animals. Everything was vegetarian. I believe that according to this Bible. He says, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you. It shall be for meat. That word meat does not mean necessarily have to mean that it's your actual meat, what we consider meat. The word meat in the Bible at this time in 1611 was translated, means food to eat. God has given us that. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, have I given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw that everything, here it is, God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It never says the word perfect. That's very important for you to remember when you're dealing with people. Say, well, if God created a perfect world, and God created one that was very good, it's not perfect because he gave man a free will. We had a free will, and we used it to sin against the holy God. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, you notice that's the end of this chapter. But that's not the end of this creation week. And again, my personal, this is why I tell people, the chapter divisions, the verse divisions, they're good to help us. But you got to remember, I don't believe that they are inspired of God. I believe it's one man's interpretation of breaking down the Bible, because personally, I think that it should have gone through verse 3. of chapter 2. And so we're going to read these first three verses and we're going to stop here for the afternoon. And so chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them, and on the seventh day. See why? This is why I think that this is a continuation of the thought. This is still the first week. The seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. And I believe verse 4 would have been a better place personally for the chapter division, because now God goes back. So that completes the creation week. And then in chapter 2, God goes back and gives us a more entailed or a more detailed description of how He made Adam and Eve. And so we'll look at that next week. But again, that's why it's important. I believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. I am not questioning the words. I just feel that chapter 1 would have been better to go all the way to verse 3 of chapter 2 to complete the week, and then start verse 4 into chapter 2. But that's my interpretation. The man that did it, I'm not even sure what his name is right now. If somebody said it, I know I've heard it 100 times, and I cannot remember now who it is. But he took it upon himself, and I'm thankful for it. It's not a bad thing. You'll just notice, it's just important when you're reading the Bible, you'll notice Luke chapter 9 and 10. We talk about Luke chapter 9. At the end of Luke chapter 9, Jesus is calling people to come and be laborers for Him. And then in chapter 10, it continues that thought. And so I believe that that's another spot that's easily seen, that if somebody would have divided it that way. But again, it's not trying to be mean. I'm just letting you know that when you're reading the Bible, sometimes the thought of the writer continues into the next chapter. Or the end of a chapter may continue into, you know, so just pay attention when you're reading those things. And again, that's why, because the whole division, the whole week continues into chapter 2. And then chapter 2, now God backs up and says, okay, I've completed the work, but now I'm going to give you the details of how I formed man. See, because God does not say that in chapter 1, but in chapter 2, He tells us that He what? Formed man from the dust of the earth. That He took the time and He formed all that. And that He took afterwards, after He created man. By the way, what major thing do we find in chapter 2 without looking? What major thing does Adam do in chapter 2 that we find out? He names all the animals. God brought that's how much intelligence Adam had. God brought the animals to Adam and let Adam decide what the names were. I think that just speaks to God's, because Owen here, not picking on Owen, but he's the youngest one in the room. Owen here is 7, but two nails. Everything Owen knows right now, 7 years old, was what? Talk to him. When you get out there with your kid, well, I don't know how to wash dishes. And she get mad. She's going there and wash dishes yourself. Why do you have to do that? Because he hadn't been taught yet. Or she hadn't been taught. Or your kid hadn't been taught yet. Why didn't your kid know how to turn wrenches and take out a motor of a car? Because you hadn't taught him. But Adam, when God created Adam, God created a man that knew and had knowledge from the start. And in the creation week, when he backs up, that day 6, all this, you remember, all this transpires on day 6, that God created Adam and the animals, and during that day, same day, God brought them to Adam to see what Adam would name them, and during that, God saw that Adam needed somebody to help meet, and He put Adam to sleep and took a rib out of Adam's side and created woman. All that happens in day 6 of creation. We look at all the animals nowadays and we think, oh man, you know, how did all those animals end up on the ark? Well, the truth of the matter is, there was not that many animals. They've done studies on this, and I can't remember the numbers, but animal kind is not as great as what you think. It's not like Noah took a set of Labradors, English Bulldogs, Maltese. No, all he had to do was take two wolves. Because that's where we bred dogs from. We bred them from wolves. Cats, it would have taken two cats. There may have been more. There may have been more than, you know, two. There may have been two or three different types of wolves. But you would not need, you know, how many, do you remember how many breeds of dogs there were when you took that? I know it's over 100 now. You got to remember, all those have been created, most of those have been created in the last, 300 years that we've bred those. And I said this morning, I talked about it. It's not that we're breeding something into them to get those. It's actually that we're breeding stuff out of them. To get a Labrador, you're breeding all the other traits out. To get an English Bulldog, they bred out all those other traits. You're not breeding stuff into them. You're actually breeding stuff out of them. It's a big difference. And so all it would have took was two dogs, two canine animals on the ark, two feline animals, two horses. We have bred to get a certain type, just like humans. Humans separated, and now we've got the different ethnicities that have been bred. All those things are important because when Adam named all the animals, there may not have been but a couple thousand different types of animals. You got to remember, I mean, we're the ones that named all these different types of hummingbirds. But all you had to have was two hummingbirds on there. All you had to have was two types of doves, well, more than two types of doves, because God told Noah to take seven pairs of all the clean animals. But you wouldn't have had to have all the different types of horses. You wouldn't have had to have all the different types of elephants. All you'd have was two elephants. Two types of each one of these. And so when you start realizing that, you realize it's a whole lot less animals than what you think. And so all that stuff is important to remember. And again, so next week we're going to just go through chapter 2. We're going to look at creation of man. That God goes back in chapter 2 and tells us that he formed man, that he gave Adam the ability to have the knowledge to name all the animals. All those things we're going to look at in chapter 2 next week. And so I hope that you're taking notes and wrote all that stuff down for the first 6 days. Again, we covered days, we covered through day 4 last week, and then we covered 5 and 6 and 7 this week. 5 was sea creatures, fowl of the air, fruitful and multiplied. Day 6 was land creatures, cattle, insects, creeping things, beasts, man and woman, dominion, all that. And then day 7, God said it is very good, and he rested on day 7. And so take these things down. Note these important things as we go through. May not be as much to write down, but creation week is a lot. And once again, God does not say, here am I, here's what I want you to know. God says from the beginning, in the beginning, God. That's what he wants you to know. And so pray for the work of God. Father, once again, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you've made. Lord, I don't want to end the service without giving an invitation. Lord, if there's one in here that is not saved, may the day be the day of salvation. Lord, if they don't know you as their Savior, may they come. Lord, for these children, Lord, I pray, God, they get a good night's rest tonight and be with us this week. God, help us if there's one that needs to come. In Jesus' name I pray. The altar's open tonight. Come on if you need to come tonight.